Title: Restaming with AQ Using Arrangement View Advanced. Alright, let's get into some proper drama and bass mix engineering. Restaming with AQ, but not the one AQ and Prey approach. We are doing this in Arrangement View, which means we're going to write EQ behavior over time, like a mix engineer. Different sections, different control. Same bassline, but it behaves. Because a res is wide, moving, and harmonically packed, it tends to fight the mix in three zones. First, the sub and low end, roughly 30 to 120 Hz, where you get phase weirdness, mud, and kick clashes. Second, the low mids, around 150 to 400, where that boxy cardboard lives and it masks snare weight and room tone. Third, the presence and top, 1 to 8K, where you get fizz, whistles, and reverb buildup that makes the whole track feel spitty. The main goal today, keep the sub stable, let the mid re-stew the movement, and automate EQ states so the intro teases, the drop hits full but controlled, breakdowns get darker, and the second drop evolves without just getting louder. Step 0. Prep your layout in Arrangement View. I want two tracks, minimum. One called ResMID, that's the moving character. One called Sub, that's a clean sign or clean low layer. Then group them into a bass bus. This is not optional if you want predictable low end. If you try to EQ or res to also be your sub, you'll be chasing your tail all day, because the modulation changes the low end every note. Quick check before touching EQ. Put spectrum on the ResMID, spectrum on the sub, and another spectrum on the bass bus. Your sub should dominate roughly 45 to 90 Hz. Your ResMID should really own 120 and up. If your res is still bullying the sub range, we'll high pass it harder in a second. Step 1. Ain staging before EQ, so your EQ moves mean something. On the ResMID track, put utility first. Set the gain so your peaks are living around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS before the bus. Don't mix bass at almost clipping and then wonder why every EQ move sounds extreme. If the res is super wide or chorus heavy, try utility width around 80 to 100% for now. We'll manage mono compatibility properly later. On the sub track, utility width to 0%, mono sub, always. Keep the sub clean and consistent. If your sub has movement and width, it might sound cool solo, but it will punish you on a club system. Step 2. Build a static EQ foundation for the drop. On ResMID, add EQ 8. For mode, pick natural phase or minimum phase and commit. Don't keep switching modes mid-project and then wondering why the bass feels different. Phase behavior changes how the low end locks. Here's a strong starting point. First, a high pass at about 90 to 130 Hz, 24 dB per octave. If you have a dedicated sub track, you can push higher, like 110 to 150. The goal is, the mid res is not allowed to fight the sub. Second, low mid control. Put a bell around 220 to 320 Hz, Q around 1.2 to 2.5, cut maybe 2 to 5 dB. This is the classic why does my mix sound like a wet cardboard box zone. Third, harsh node hunting, and a bell around 2.5 to 5.5 kHz with a tighter Q, maybe 3 to 7, and cut 1 to 4 dB where needed. Use the band solo button inside EQ 8 to find the mosquito. Headphones help. Then on solo and back off the cut until it feels musical, not surgically dead. Teacher tip. If you find yourself stacking 10 tiny notches, stop. That's usually a sound design problem, an arrangement problem, or you're mixing too loud. 1 to 3 smart moves beat 1,000 paper cuts. Step 3. Make it arrangement view ready by creating EQ states. Press it to show automation. And yes, you can automate individual EQ bands, frequency, gain, hue, all of it. But if you automate 8 parameters per section, your lanes become spaghetti and you'll hate your life in 2 days. So here's the pro workflow. Use multiple EQ 8s and automate device on and off per section. On ResMID, duplicate EQ 8 so you have 2 instances. Name them EQ 8 intro and EQ 8 drop. You can add a third later for breakdown or drop too, but start with 2. Your chain might look like this. Utility first, then EQ 8 intro, then EQ 8 drop, then maybe saturator, and optionally multiband dynamics for control. Now automate device activators. In the intro section, intro EQ is on and drop EQ is off. In the drop, drop EQ is on and intro EQ is off. Clean, readable, fast to edit, and you can still do micro automation inside whichever EQ is active. Step 4. Intro EQ. Tease without mud. On EQ 8 intro, make it intentionally thinner. High pass it harder, like 160 to 250 Hz, 24 dB per octave. If it sounds honky, do a gentle dip around 300 to 500, maybe 2 to 4 dB. And if you want a little anticipation, a small high shelf above 6 to 10k, like plus 1 to plus 3 dB, can add air. Don't overdo it. You're not mastering, you're setting up contrast. Arrangement move that always works. Over the first 16 bars, slowly automate the intro high pass frequency downward. For example, start around 220 and gradually open to 140 by the time you hit the drop. Slow ramp equals intentional evolution. It's a mix move, but it feels like composition. Quick side note, if you're doing big filter sweeps, consider doing those with auto filter, not EQ8. Auto filter is made for sweeping and it keeps your EQ8 doing steady tone shaping. Also, it reduces the feeling that your phase behavior is constantly changing. Step 5. Drop EQ. Lock the low end and carve space for drums. On EQ8 drop, bring the high pass down to something like 100 to 140 Hz depending on where your sub lives. Now, don't get obsessed with cutting where the kick fundamental is on the res mid layer, because your real kick sub war happens on the sub track and in timing. But you can reduce low mid overlap with a small cut around 110 to 150, if the kick feels swallowed. Then think snare. Snares often have body around 180 to 240 Hz, and crack around 2k. If your snare body is getting masked, try a controlled cut on the res around 180 to 220, just 1 to 3 dB. If it's the crack that's masked, try a tiny dip around 1.8 to 2.4k, maybe 1 to 2 dB. Key principle, you don't need the res to be big everywhere. In DNB, you need it consistent where it matters, and obedient where drums need space. And here's an advanced coach note. Don't chase the kick with EQ if the real issue is time domain overlap. Sometimes nudging the res midi a few milliseconds later, or shortening note length so the kick transient has space, instantly clears the groove without carving your bass to death. Loud is easy, clear is timing plus arrangement. Step 6. Microtame the whoomp notes with automation. This is where arrangement view becomes a weapon. Loop one or two bars where the res jumps out. Usually it's a note where the modulation aligns and suddenly 250 blooms, or 3 to 5k whistles. On EQ8 drop, pick a bell band. Temporarily boost it about 8 dB, set Q around 6, and sweep until the nasty frequency screams. Then flip that boost into a cut, maybe minus 2 to minus 6 dB. Now the important part. Automate that band's gain only for the moment it misbehaves. Like an eighth note, a quarter note, sometimes even just a tiny dip around the transient. Use automation shapes like a mix engineer. Fast in, fast out for corrective dips so you don't hear the EQ working. Slow ramps for section changes so it feels intentional, like the track is breathing. Also, remember, not every bad moment is a bad frequency. If it's always the same note that blooms, it might be register, not resonance. In that case, clip gain or utility gain automation for that note is sometimes cleaner than a deeper EQ notch. You keep the tone intact and just stop that note from stepping forward. Step 7. Keep the res wide but make it mono compatible. Wide read SEs are the vibe. Wide low mids are the problem. Use EQ8 in mid slash side mode on the res mid drop EQ. On the side channel, at a high pass around 160 to 250 Hz. Use 12 or 24 dB per octave depending on how wild your stereo is. This keeps width up top, but prevents stereo smear in the low mids, which is exactly what disappears in mono or turns to mud on big systems. Then do an actual mono check. On the bass bus, add a utility at the end. Map a control to width equals zero, so you can flip mono quickly. Flip it while the full drums are playing, not in solo. If the bass vanishes or hollows out, your sides are doing too much below about 250, or your layers are fighting phase-wise. Extra club translation trick. On that same bass bus utility, also map a quick gain drop, like minus 6 dB. When you toggle that, you get a small speaker and headroom perspective. If your bass only feels good when it's huge and loud, you're not done mixing it. Step 8. EQ into saturation versus saturation into EQ. In heavy DNB you'll often do both, but the order matters. The safe chain is control first, utility, then EQ8 to tame, then saturator, then another EQ8 to polish. On saturator, try analog clip or soft sign. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on, and trim the output so it's level matched. Level matching is not optional, louder always sounds better, and you will fool yourself. The aggressive chain is dirt first, utility, then saturator, then EQ8 for surgical tame. Use this when the res is too polite and you want harmonics, then you contain the mess after. And one more sound design meets mix note. Saturation can move perceived weight upward. If your Reese is masking snare body around 180 to 240, changing saturator mode or drive can shift the energy, so you don't need to carve as much EQ. Step 9. Tone evolution across drops, without changing loudness. In arrangement view, copy your drop EQ state and tweak it for drop 2. Very small moves. Options. Ease up the 300 Hz, cut slightly so it feels more chest. Or dip 3 to 4K a touch more so it's darker and heavier. Or automate an auto filter low pass for the first 4 to 8 bars of drop 2, then release it so the drop opens up mid-phrase. Here's a slick arrangement trick. In the first 8 bars of drop 2, automate a small low mid cut to be a little deeper, like minus 2 becoming minus 4 at 250. The groove feels tighter while the drums are freshest. Then relax it later to feel bigger. Subtle equals professional. Advanced variation you can try later. Parallel EQ for controlled aggression. Make a return track with EQ 8 doing narrow presence boosts, maybe around 1 to 2K. Then saturator. Send a small amount of Reese MID to it and automate the send only in the drop. You get audibility and grind without turning the main channel into a harsh mess. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you're doing all this. Don't EQ the Reese to be the sub. Split the sub. Don't overnotch until the Reese sounds hollow. Don't ignore mid slash side. Wide low mids ruin mono and club translation. Don't automate a million parameters. Use multiple EQ devices with on and off automation so your arrangement is readable. And don't forget to level match after EQ and saturation. If you fixed the Reese and it's 2 dB louder, you didn't fix it. You just turned it up. Mini practice, 15 to 25 minutes. Grab a 32-bar DNB loop, hick, snare, hats, Reese, sub. Split the bass into Reese MID plus sub. On Reese MID, create 2 EQ 8 states, intro and drop. Automate device on and off. Bars 1 to 16 intro, bars 17 to 32 drop. Then in the drop, find one resonance that jumps out and automate a notch cut only for that moment, no longer than a quarter bar. Finally, do the mono check on the bass boss, and add the side high pass if needed. When you bounce a quick audio, you're checking three things. The sub stays consistent, the Reese stays wide but doesn't vanish in mono, and the drop feels bigger than the intro without simply being louder. Recap to lock it in. We're mixing Reese's in arrangement view by thinking in sections. Sub is separate, stable, mono. Reese MID is carved with a solid static foundation, then corrected with tiny automation only when needed. This audio version is shortened for playback.